Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
To start, just by looking at a passage in 1 Kings 2, and I'm just going to reference it very quickly. 1 Kings 2, and I'm going to read just three verses, starting at verse 19. 1 Kings 2 and verse 19. Now this, after Elisha receives the mantle from Elijah, he crosses the Jordan, and then the very first miracle he does after that is this miracle. I really do. We're not looking at Bathsheba. 2 Kings 2 and verse 19. Not Samuel either. This is all my fault. There we are. That's the one. So this is the very first miracle that Elisha does after he's crossed the Jordan. He's got this new anointing, this new mandate. And then here it is. It says, the men of the city said to Elisha, please notice the situation of this city. It's pleasant, as my Lord sees. But the water is bad and the ground barren. And he said, bring me a new bowl, put salt in it. And they brought it to him. Then he went out to the source. Say source. And this is a prophet. You know, when prophets do things, it is bringing a truth on many different levels. Their words can resound and their actions can resound in so many different spheres. And he went to the source of the water and cast salt in there. Salt represents healing. And said, thus says the Lord, I have healed this water. From it there shall be no more death or barrenness. Now, just very quickly on this. This was a city where everything looked fantastic on the outside. Say, on the outside. Everything looked good. It was pleasant. It was beautiful. You know, lovely streets, lovely houses, nice meadows. Who knows? I'm painting a picture that my mind paints of what this place looked like. Maybe ornate buildings. It all looked great on the outside. But there was a problem on the inside. And you know, so many times in life, we look like we've got everything together. We look like we are as sorted can be. But the stuff on the inside. You know, and when Elisha was presented with their problem, he said, I need to go to the source. I need to deal with the root. I'm not going to look at symptoms. They were saying, look, we've got all this barrenness. People are dying too early. You know, women have been married for years. And no children coming along. And he says, I'm not going to look at the symptoms. I want to go straight to the root. And as a result of going to the root, he brought transformation to that whole city. You see, as their soul prospered, do you understand? He went to the source. He went to the inside. And I believe today that God wants to shine his light onto the issues on the inside of us. Say inside. You know, I love that song. That song, if only I had that voice. But let praises rise from the inside. But my favorite line in that whole song is, may you delight. Not on how I look to everyone else. Not on how I come across to people who see me once a week. But Lord, may you delight in what you see on the inside of me, what no one else can see. Are you hearing me? God is looking on the inside. God is not interested so much, although he is interested, but his real preoccupation is with the hearts of man. Right. You know, one of the things I mentioned in the 9 o'clock service was that I was reminding myself of a message Prophet Nana preached at Harvest about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, where he talked about the fact that there was a prophecy given to Abraham, which was that the people of Israel will be in captivity for 400 years, and then they will come out. And the insight that God gave prof about this, because you see, it was delayed. God himself said 400 years. But they were in captivity 430 years. And I've heard two different insights, one from our pastor and one from prof, and I believe they're both exactly what the issue was. But I'm going to mention prof's one here. Because what he said is, God was waiting for his man to be ready. God was waiting for Moses to be ready. Right. You know, Moses was 80 years old when he stepped into his destiny. 80 years old. And God will wait on you and me. But he's looking at the inside. God had to do a transformation in Moses' heart. This wasn't about training Moses for leadership anymore. This wasn't about teaching him the ways of Egypt because he was going to have to communicate. All of that was sorted 40 years previously. God was now waiting for Moses' heart to be ready. And you see, I believe that God is wanting to do something in our hearts in this season so that we are ready for what God's got. Now, I want to look at a young woman in the Bible. I don't know her age. The Bible doesn't tell us. And I don't even know her name. But she is described in the Song of Songs simply as the Shulamite. And this was a really amazing woman. Because this woman, the Shulamite, I mean, you know, how many ladies, let's be real for a little while, okay? I promise I'll be real. So how many of you, you can remember from quite a young age, dreaming about marrying a knight in shining armor of some sort? Come on, I want some genuine responses here. You had a dream of marriage. You hoped one day to be married. You never, ever dreamt about being married. Wow, you did. I did. Yeah, yeah. It was just, you know, and we, us ladies, guys, just to give you a little insight into many, many women, and I know it's not all of you, you're not all like me, but we would watch those rom-coms, and we would now become Julia Roberts. And we are standing there, and I am Julia Roberts now as I'm watching this movie. And I am looking at Hugh Grant. I was trying to remember his name, but how could I forget his name? And I am standing in front of him saying, but I'm just a girl, standing in front of a boy, asking him to love her. And you see, us ladies, we are in that rom-com. And we are looking at this leading man and we're going, yes, I'm just a girl, standing in front of a boy, asking him to love her. And we, honestly, truth is, probably 90%, I've never done a survey, but I don't need to. 90 plus percent of us. Viv, were you like that as a child at some point? Yeah. Roro, I know. I've seen the dream board. She took the dream board off her wall recently. I used to see this groom on the dream board. And now the dream board's off the wall. She said it was never on my wall. I went, maybe I saw it in my dreams on your wall, but I think it was your dreams. You know, so I don't believe that this Shulamite was any different. She's always wanted to meet the man. And she doesn't just get a man. I mean, she hits the jackpot. I mean, the jackpot. Because not only does she get like this really, really spiritual man. That's great when you get a spiritual man. But he's loaded. He's so rich, and he's powerful, and he is really good looking. You need to read the Song of Songs if you think I'm not telling the truth. He's really, I mean, she gets him. She gets the most eligible man walking on planet Earth at the time. We still thought we were talking about Julia Roberts. I'm talking about the Shulamite. Well, I think Julia Roberts got the jackpot too. I'm joking. Sorry. I dealt with that. She gets this amazing guy, this Shulamite. She gets King Solomon. Now, she doesn't just get this great guy. Now, the other day, 2 days ago, we were driving in the car, and my husband turned to me, and he went, "You're a lovely lady." And I actually said, "Sorry, what did you just say?" I pretended I hadn't heard. Yeah. And he said, "You're a lovely lady." You know, I've got, you know, the best. But, this woman is married to a man. I want you to hear how this man talks about his wife. He says to her, "Your eyes are like sparkling pools." He says, "Your nose is like a tower." I'm not sure I would want that one. He says, "Your lips are like scarlet." He says, "Your temples are like pomegranates." He says, "Your hair is like goats running down a mountain." Are you getting the idea? He says to her, he says, "Your belly button." Sorry, any woman in here ever had their belly button complimented? "Your belly button is like a golden goblet." What is this? "Your teeth are like shorn sheep." Not shorn the sheep. You understand? Sheep that have been shorn. And it even goes on and says, you know, sheep that have been shorn and clean. I'm like, my goodness. Like, I mean, I don't mind that he's never complimented my teeth. Are you hearing me? Actually, he has. You once said you liked that wonky tooth I've got. And then you said it should have been straightened later. But anyway. But listen. He even said, now this is in the Bible, so I'm allowed to say it publicly. He said, "Her boobs, sorry, her breasts were like two little baby twin fawns." I mean, this is a guy that knew how to compliment a girl. Are you hearing me? He even said, "And your breath." I mean, how many of you, you're the one always saying, "Would you like a mint?" Even just last night, my husband said, "Do you want a mint?" Like, thanks, my love. He even said, "Your breath smells like apples." That is the Shulamite. Now, I want to read you a little story about that amazing woman. I'm going to read about a particular evening that she had, a night. And this is in chapter 3 of Song of Songs. And I'm just going to read 3 or 4 verses. And it says, "By night on my bed, I sought the one I love. I sought him, but I did not find him. I'll rise now, I said, and go about the city, in the streets and in the squares. I will seek the one I love. I sought him, but I didn't find him. And the watchmen who go about the city found me, and I said, 'Have you seen the one I love?' Scarcely had I passed them by when I found the one I love. I held him and would not let him go." I just want to remind you a little bit. So this is the Shulamite. She's married to the king of Israel. He's a busy man. Yes, do we all agree that Solomon will have been a very busy man? And it's normal for people who are busy to get back late sometimes. Bruce, do you ever get back late? Yeah. You know, it's normal for busy men to get back late. And here's this woman. She goes to bed. She wakes up. He's still not there. And she panics. She's suddenly going, "Oh my goodness, where's my husband? Oh dear, where is he?" Now, she doesn't just lie in bed worrying. Let me tell you, worry doesn't help anyone. But she doesn't just do that. That's not enough for her. I mean, she's now feeling really, something's churning on the inside. She's thinking, "Where is my husband? Where is he?" He's a busy man. He's a king. And she gets up in the middle of the night in Bible times, when women really wouldn't be out on their own, never mind at night. Are you hearing me? And she's searching around the streets, going, "Has anyone seen Solomon? Has anyone, have you ever heard, like, you know what a needy person is?" And she's running around, "Has anyone seen Solomon? Has anyone?" And she meets the watchman. And then after that, when she does find him, the Bible says that she clings on to him and will not let him go. What's this a picture of? This is an insecure woman. Remember how we started? You see, it can look like it's great on the outside, like that city did. The Shulamite looked like she had everything. But you see, when there was any level of pressure, you know, when he's there and loving her, all's well. But when suddenly he's not around and suddenly the sense of inadequacy, suddenly the worry, oh my goodness, does he really love me? You know, when we first got married, you know, I mean, really, I was very insecure. And one of the things I used to do, I really believe that, I'm sure women have their animal counterparts, but I believe that in some ways, men are like bears. Sorry. And let me explain what I mean. I don't mean they grizzle, I don't mean they bite, I don't mean they're scary. I mean that when they're asleep, you should leave them that way. And you see, if my husband and I had a little altercation, and it's coming to bedtime, and you know, he's now just falling asleep, I'd be that one who would suddenly start to be thinking, oh my goodness, and I'd wake him up, pound low, and he'd be like, what is wrong with this? Yeah? Do you still love me? He'd be like, yes, I still love you. Which, of course, didn't help, because I'm not hearing the words, I'm hearing the tone. Because I'm insecure. When I'm insecure, I hear tone more than I do words. And so anyway, he's now just drifting into that perfect place of peaceful sleep. And I'm now even more churning. And so, Paolo! And he's like, oh, what is it this time? Can I have a hug? You see, if there are fruits of insecurity in our life, if we show behaviors that indicate any level of insecurity, it may not be in the area of marriage like it was for the Shulamite or like it was for me. But if we get insecure, you know, when there's changes happening at work and suddenly we start to feel a wobble and we think, oh my goodness, it's going to be me. Oh dear. Or if friends, you know, things are happening in their lives and they haven't yet communicated with us. Or if someone forgets our birthday. Or if just the normal issues of life end up making us feel, oh my goodness, you know, I need someone to. Then that means there's a fruit. Are you hearing me? And where there's a fruit, there has to be a root. You know, there's a scripture. Twice it is in Jeremiah. And it talks about, it says, my people are partially healed. You know, I believe that one of the lies the enemy loves to tell. Now, please listen to this. He loves to tell us when we're partially healed that we're sorted. Are you hearing me? When we've gone through, do you know what? God's dealt with a lot of the issues on the inside. But we're still just partially healed. The devil loves us to believe, I've arrived, I'm fine, all is well, because then he can keep us small. He can keep our soul from prospering. He can keep that city from transformation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, that was the fruit in the Shulamite's life. She felt insecure in marriage. She went on another chapter later to have we're not going to go there, but to have this dream where she dreamt she was going, it was really traumatic. You know, there are symptoms that point to underlying issues in our lives. If we need constant affirmation, if we need to be near to certain leaders to make us feel valid, if we need contact with people, if people walk past us or are bristly and it makes us feel nervous, then it's probably a fruit which indicates there's a root. You see, the Shulamite, one of the first things she said, you know, I felt a bit like this years back. I felt like when I introduced myself, I almost wanted to say, hi, I'm Joe, I've got issues. I mean, I didn't do that. But I felt this need to tell people certain things about myself. But this Shulamite in chapter 1 and verse 6, she says, don't look at me, because the sun has burnt me. If you look at the original Hebrew words, this is Song of Songs, chapter 1, verse 6. Don't look at me, because the sun's burnt me, because my mother's sons were angry with me. That might be a brothers, it might be stepbrothers. They were angry with me. We don't know what went on then. We don't know why these men were cruel to her. But something happened that caused her to have to be out working and doing stuff outside in the heat of the sun, which was not the time when young ladies would be outside. And the scars left on her face were a constant reminder of the pain that she'd gone through. Are you hearing me? You see, there's no fruit without a root. You know, I talked about partial healing. And you see, sometimes what happens is we come into new situations, and that new situation becomes an alarm. That's one word to use. Or it could just be like a signpost. And so stuff happens in a new situation, and suddenly we're reacting in a certain way. You know, I remember when I met Prophet Kathy 6 years ago. I'd been given a word by Prophet Nana a couple of years before that, a visiting minister to Harvest. This man had come, the first time he'd ever walked into this house. He gave me a word. God's giving you a healing ministry. You're going to be a mother to many. But you've had a lack of maternal love. Stop looking for a mother. God's going to send you one. So I stopped. 2 years later, I meet this woman, Kathy Lechner. And I remember right from the beginning, a couple of days after she'd been here, God just started to connect us in the most extraordinary way. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, there's just, you know, some people you meet and it feels like meeting destiny. Sometimes you walk in, you know, some of you, many of you, will have walked into Harvest and felt like you were stepping into a place. Wow, I feel like these people have been my family for a long time. And that's what destiny feels like. It feels like we've gone somewhere that we already know. Right. And meeting her was like that for me. But I said nothing. And anyway, I then shared at some point about this word I'd been given, but then just left it. And some months later, it was just on my heart, and I just felt, you know what, I need to tell her that I see her as my spiritual mother. So I sent her a text, and I got this instant reply. And the reply was, oh, my darling daughter. I mean, it was just like over the top. I mean, this woman doesn't know when to stop for love. I mean, she is so loving. And it was, my darling daughter, da, 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 your mama. And I'm like, literally, fear gripped me. I'm like, I don't want a mother. I don't want a mother. You've got to remember, I've just texted her saying something to the words of, you're my spiritual mother. And then now she responds as my mother. And I'm like, get me out of here. You know, no celebrity, but I want out. And so I'm thinking, what is this? You see, we've got to learn to do what Rebecca, Isaac's wife, did. She was pregnant. It didn't feel right. Something was churning on the inside. She got into the presence of God and said, if all is well, then why am I like this? And I remember thinking, I don't want a mother. I don't want a mother. I don't want a mother. Just the very thought of a mother was just making me just seize up on the inside. And so I got into the presence of God and said, Father, what's this about? And very quickly, I was just it taken straight back to women. Two particular women who had really hurt me. Christian women, leaders, who through that relationship that I had with those people, I felt really squashed. I felt rejected. I felt hurt. I felt let down by them. And I remember getting into the presence of God and just crying and saying, God, I don't want that to happen again. You know, I can't get hurt like that again. I can't go through that again. You see, because when there's a fruit, there's always a root. And I cried in the presence of God, and God healed my heart. You see, he doesn't want to do the superficial stuff. He doesn't want to say, well, change your confession on that one. Yes, confession's important. He wants us to have a well soul. And I remember just that day allowing God, and he healed me. And I remember coming out of the presence of God with nothing but love for those women who had meant the best for me. You know, but just whatever, it went wrong. And I came out of the presence of God, and I was ready to receive a mother. And let me tell you, you see, the thing about the enemy. He wants to keep from you the very gifts, the very relationships, the very people that are going to be instrumental in your transformation, in your growth, in your future. You see, let me tell you, you have no idea how instrumental Prophet Kathy has been in just the work that's happened on the inside, in seeing a role model of what it really means to mother. But also at a practical level, although I never wanted it, never wanted it. Every single door in America that has opened to me, and God has given me a mandate in that nation, every single one I can eventually trace back to one person. All of them that stayed open. Every door that has remained open, I can trace back to one person. Are you hearing me? God wants to deal with the root so that he can deal with the fruit. And so we can become those men and women, those sons and daughters that he's causing and calling us to be. Could we just have the image? I want to show you a picture of a tree. And this is my insecurity tree. Do you like my insecurity tree? So you see, I want to look at some of these fruits first. I don't know if you can see them. Love me. You know that cry on the inside that's always saying to people, please love me. I just want to be loved. It's a fruit. Because you know, when we are healed, we already know we're loved. Are you hearing me? Praise me. I need my last project to be acknowledged by my boss. I need to be celebrated. When things go well, when I get promoted, when I've done the right things, when I've served in church, I need to be acknowledged and praised. I need you to praise me. It's a fruit. Reassure me. Gosh, I'm feeling really ugly today. I'm feeling really fat today. You know, I'm not sure that I'm... It's a fruit. Notice me. I used to be such an attention seeker. I mean, I still love attention. Sorry, I do. You know, I'll never forget our daughter. We brought her when she was three. Our pastor was preaching at a big Spanish church. It was in a huge auditorium. And the stage was literally about 10 foot high or taller. And Benj and Abby were both going to sing a nice song, you know, oh, Jesus loves me, something like that. And Benj walked in. Benj was four and Abby was three. Benj walked in. He took one look at that 10-foot stage and he went, I'm not doing it. And then, so we looked at Abby and said, well, I'll do it. Anyway, she gets up on the stage with her daddy. And before he preaches, he says, my daughter wants to sing a song. And she stands there holding this microphone. Oh, Jesus loves me. She sings the whole thing and then hands the microphone back to daddy. Everyone's in delight. And then 2 days later, we're in the car together and Abby just suddenly turns to me and she goes, oh, mummy, I love microphones. Oh, dear. So we all know where she gets it from. But you see, there's a kind of notice me which is rooted in a sense of inadequacy, of rejection. Then there's the hide me. Oh, no, don't ask me to speak. Oh, no, don't put the spotlight on me. Oh, no, let me stay in the corner. It's a fruit. Now, I want to very quickly, because I want to draw things to a close, because you see, what I want to do today is I want to ask you to join me. I've been on a journey for years, and I want us to make that decision that I'm going to go on a journey, and I'm not going to get off the train. I'm not going to stop allowing God to heal me until every wrong fruit has fallen off that tree. I'm no longer going to tolerate behaviors and say that's just the way I am. I'm no longer going to see shyness as a personality thing. I'm no longer going to see wanting to stay in the background as a sign of humility. I'm no longer going to allow myself to make excuses because I want God to use me. Are you hearing me? But if we can have that tree back up there, I want to quickly just touch on four, very quickly, on four roots. You know, sometimes God can have healed a whole load of stuff in our lives. And one day I want Roro to really share a testimony. But God can have healed a whole load of stuff in our lives. But if there's some words that have never been dealt with, words that were spoken, that have just affected our view of ourselves, we will end up with symptoms. We will end up with fruit that we can't seem to shift. Abuse, loss. It's amazing how even loss, losing a parent or a brother or somebody that was really important in our lives, losing them can end up feeling like we've been abandoned. But you know, tainted love, let me tell you what I mean by this. One of the things God's been showing me. You see, we can get hurt when people treat us badly. But we can get hurt when people just aren't giving us the kind of love we need. Are you hearing the difference? You know, I want to call it one example of this. I remember asking God and saying, Father, what produced such deep sense of rejection in me? And I realized really quickly, it was conditional love. That I never felt that I was enough. You know, the deepest roots of rejection in me weren't from violence or rage or anger or things that went on. The deepest roots of rejection were from the sense of just me, I'm not enough, because the love I experienced was conditional. I really believe that in this year of expansion, that God is saying to each one of us, stay on the journey until you've reached that destination of a level of security where, you know what, anyone could ask you to do anything that's righteous. And there would be very little that would stop you from being able to respond to the call of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Can I ask you to stand? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you just shut your eyes in the presence of the Lord. And I just want to encourage you to open your heart to his healing love. You know, God desires to reach deep down to every root. I haven't talked about how we get our healing much right now. But you know what? If you need healing, I would encourage you, come to Healed for Life and keep coming until God has finished that work. Get hold of our books and stay on that journey until that work is completed. But right now, I just want to invite you to make a decision before God. If you're here today and you're saying, you know what? I want to be made completely whole. I'm willing to stay on this healing journey until I reach my destination, until all these fruits, negative fruits, have dropped off. Would you just raise both hands in the presence of God? You might already feel that you've reached a place of wholeness, but if you know that you're still on that journey, just raise both hands. And I just want to encourage you in the presence of God, just to tell the Lord, Father, do what you need to do in me. Shine your light into the depths of my heart and heal every single hurt, every hidden wound, everything that I've just glossed over and said, oh, it doesn't matter. Father, heal my heart until I reach that place of security. Just tell the Lord right now, Father, I want my soul to be well. Lord, I want a well soul, a whole soul, a healed soul. Have your way, Lord God, and do everything that you want to do. And just while you remain in the presence of God with your eyes shut, if you're here today, you've heard this message, but you've never actually given your life to Jesus. Maybe you've heard of him, maybe you've always believed in him, but you know that you haven't got a living, day by day, real relationship with him like you would have with a best friend or with your father, a father who loves you. And you're saying, I want that. I want to know God as my daddy and as my best friend. I want to give my life to Jesus. Just while everyone's praying, could I just ask you to lift your hand up so I can see it, so that I can pray for you? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. I would love just to lead you in prayer. If you just say, Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for me. Thank you for your plan for my life. I ask you to forgive all my sin. Come into my heart and be my Lord. Be my Savior. Do something new in me. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you that I am now your child and you are my Father. Let's put our hands together for Jesus. Jesus.